lie still. Do not attempt to rise yet.
Where the devil am I?
You're feeling better now?
Yes. Yes, I am. But where am I? What am I doing here? And who the mischief are you? I've seen you somewhere before.
You're within half a mile of the Irrawaddy River, if you know where that is. About 72 miles southeast of the Darawaga settlement.
I see. Well, I'm awfully sorry to have intruded. I left Marlinstein 2.5 months ago. With 20 boys and plenty of stores, we were doing a big trek after lion. I took some new Askaris in, and they made trouble. Looted the stores one night, and there was merry hell to pay. I was obliged to shoot a couple, and the rest deserted. Took my compass. I'm nearly 100 miles out of my way. I say, you couldn't give me a drink, could you?
With pleasure, if my doctor approves. He will be here soon. I sent for him when my boys carried you into camp. As for your having seen me before, in your mirror, perhaps?
By God, you're right, that's it. We are alike, aren't we?
There is certainly a strong likeness between us.
All the same, I'm sure.
You must get some rest. It is not good to talk.
Hello, Doctor.
You are awake at last. Feeling better?
Yes, much. Thank you. Tell me, what is my preserver's name? Seems a decent fellow.
It is His Excellency, the Major General Baron Leopold von Ragenstein.
All that. Is he the governor or something of that sort?
He is the military commandant of the colony. He also has a special mission here.
Damn fine-looking fellow for a German.
Now, your pulse, please. You have drunk much whiskey lately, so?
Who wouldn't in this pestilential climate?
His Excellency drinks nothing but light wine and seltzer water.
Oh, really?
I regret that I cannot give you whiskey at this moment, but you can have some hock and seltzer at dinner. Mm. Dinner will be in half an hour.
De Winter? Well, I'm damned. Sigismund de Winter. You were at Eton with me. Horrocks House, semi-final in the rackets.
And Magdalen afterwards, number 5 in the boat. I wondered when you would remember.
Domine,
isn't it?
That's right, Everard Domine. But why the devil did the doctor here tell me that your name was von Ragenstein?
Because it happens to be true. De Winter is my family name.
Well, it's a small world. Siggy de Winter. Baron von Ragenstein, out here slaving for God knows what, a political machine. I suppose future Governor General of German Africa, eh? You always were proud of your country.
Germany is a country to be proud of.
More wine, gentlemen?
I'd rather have some whiskey. You see those wreaths of mist? They'll mean malaria for me, unless I have spirits.
I have something better than whiskey. You should give me your opinion of this.
Napoleon Gravy, by God. What a world. I hadn't eaten for 2 days when I rolled up here and drunk nothing but filthy water. Tonight, fricassee of chicken, white bread, cabernet hock, and Napoleon brandy. What the devil do you find to do out here?
If you wish to know, I am annoying your political agents immensely by moving from place to place collecting natives for drill.
What on earth do you want to drill them for? Don't need an army out here, surely. And you're not likely to quarrel with us or the Portuguese.
It is our custom in Germany, and indeed wherever we Germans go, to be prepared, not only for what is likely to happen, but also for what might possibly happen.
If you will excuse me, Excellency, I have to attend to one of the boys.
But of course, Doctor. Good night, Doctor.
Gentlemen.
Little more brandy?
Oh, rather. You know, our meeting like this should be full of interest to the psychologist.
Oh, yeah?
Here we are, brought together by some miraculous chance to spend one night of our lives in an African jungle. Two human beings of the same age, brought up together, thousands of miles away, jogging on towards the eternal blackness, along lines as far apart as the mind of man can conceive.
Yeah, my friend, I believe that you're your own worst...
No, let me ramble on. I'm disposed to be philosophical. Here I am, an idler in my boyhood, harmless pleasure seeker in my youth, till I ran up against tragedy. And since then, a drifter, lolling through life with no definite purpose and with no definite hope.
You talk foolishly. If there has been a tragedy in your life, you have ample time to get over it. Why, you're not yet 40.
And then I turn and consider you. You're only my age, and yet you look 10 years younger. You carry yourself like a man with a purpose. You rise at 5 every morning, doctor tells me, and you return here worn out at dusk. What do you do it for, my friend?
Because it is my duty. You've hinted at tragedy, Dominie. You're not alone. Tragedy has entered into my life also. Perhaps if things had been otherwise, I should have found work in more joyous places. But sorrow came to me, and here I am.
By the way, where has the good Dr. Schmidt got to?
Oh, he will be joining us later, perhaps. Have you a sufficient brand?
Quite enough, thank you.
Well, then, what shall we talk of?
Not me. I've been talking such an awful lot of rot about myself. Tell me a little about your career and your life in Germany before you came out here.
Ah, you speak to me of Germany. Perhaps you have guessed that it is not duty alone which has brought me to these wild places. I too left behind a tragedy.
Well, if it's too personal a matter,
since the days of my banishment, no word of this matter has passed my lips. Tonight, however, it is not weakness that assails me, but a desire to yield to the strange arm of coincidence. Now, listen to me. Some years ago, I met and fell in love with a beautiful Hungarian princess.
And so, you see, I've quite made up my mind. No city nor any civilized country will ever claim me again. I should never have the courage to face what might come.
Oh, God, I'm tired.
Well, we almost talked the night away.
Yes, it is time to turn in, is that the phrase? But now, friend of my school days, I must say goodbye. Tomorrow, before you awake, I shall be gone.
Yes, I must move on directly. Can't we travel together?
Alas, I travel officially, and I must travel alone. As for you, they will be breaking camp here tomorrow, but they will lend you an escort and put you in the direction you wish to take. Everything progresses to my orders?
Everything, Excellency.
Very good. Now, news has come from Germany.
Ah.
The month arrives, the day, even the time is fixed. I am recalled from here to take the place for which I was destined. You know why I was sent to an English public school.
I can guess.
I was to go to England on a special mission, to establish myself there as an Englishman. Now, listen, Schmidt, a great idea has come to...
What was that? I heard nothing.
The Englishman, I thought...
No, he sleeps like a drunken fool, yes. Listen, listen. Besides, he cannot understand us.
Languages happen to be that man's only accomplishment. However, to continue, I shall assume the identity of this Englishman. I shall return to England as Sir Everard Dominey.
Brilliant.
There is, as you will have noticed, a remarkable likeness between us, and Dominey has not seen an Englishman who knows him for years. Also, tonight the fool has babbled on for hours, telling me many things that it is well for me to know.
But what about his near relations?
He has none. Nearer than cousins.
But does he have a wife?
Ah, therein lies his tragedy. She is insane. She might have been the only stumbling block, but as things are...
It is a wonderful scheme.
Indeed it is, Doctor. As Sir Everard Dominey, I shall be able to penetrate into the inner circles of society, perhaps even of political life. I shall be able, if necessary, to remain in England even after the storm bursts.
But just suppose, Excellency, that the Englishman should one day decide to return to England.
He must never return to England.
Doctor, and thank you for everything.
Ah, it is nothing. But remember my advice. No spirits. They are not good for you.
Yes, I'll do my best to remember. At least until the next drink.
Ah, you English, you are mad. Well, goodbye to you, my friend.
Goodbye. And thanks again.
Heinrich.
Herr Doctor.
You are sure that the Englishman has a whiskey?
The water bottles are filled with nothing else, Herr Doctor.
How much food?
Only one day's rations.
The beef is salt?
It is very salt, Herr Doctor.
And the compass?
Is 10 degrees wrong.
Excellent. You have done well. The boys have their orders?
They understand perfectly. If the Englishman does not drink, then they will take him at midday to His Excellency's camp at the bend of the Blue River.
Then I think it will be better for the Englishman that he drinks.
And what is it, Smathers?
Gentleman to see you, Mr. Mangan. Sent in his card.
Good God. Sir Everard Dominey. Back in England. And penniless, I'll be bound.
What shall I tell the gentleman, sir?
Oh, show him in. I shall have to see him sooner or later. I may as well get it over with.
Yes, sir.
My dear Sir Everard, this is a most unexpected pleasure, most unexpected. Such a pity, too, that we only posted a draft for your allowance a few days ago. But if you'll forgive me for saying so, how well you look. Africa obviously agrees with you. Do sit down, please.
Thank you. Yes, Africa is a wonderful country, Mangan.
It certainly seems to have done wonderful things for you. Let me see now. It must be at least 11 years since we met?
Exactly 11 years. I left England in April 1902.
I was just wondering, I suppose that last remittance we sent you could be stopped. I've no doubt you'll be glad of a little ready money.
Thank you, but I don't need any just at the moment.
Really?
But we'll talk about financial matters later.
Will you be remaining in England for long, Sir Everard?
Well, I've finished with Africa for good, Mangan. Whether I decide to remain in England rather depends on what you have to tell me.
I think that you may make yourself quite easy as regards the matter of Roger Marston. Nothing has been heard of him since the day you left England.
Then his body has not been found?
Nor any trace of it.
And Lady Dominey?
Her ladyship's condition is, I believe, unchanged.
Well, if the circumstances are favourable, I think it's very likely that I may decide to settle down at Dominey Hall.
Oh, I'm afraid you'll be very disappointed with the condition of the estate, Sir Everard. We did write to you, but...
By the way, when did you receive my last letter?
Your last letter? Why, we've not had the privilege of hearing from you for over 4 years. Indeed, the only intimation that your payments ever reached you was the exceedingly prompt debit of the South African Bank.
Yes, I've certainly been very remiss. On the other hand, I've been very much absorbed. It will no doubt come as a great surprise to you to hear that I've been making a vast amount of money.
Making money? You? Forgive me, but
I... Yes, I thought you'd be surprised. However, that's neither here nor there. The business object of my visit to you this morning is to ask you to make arrangements as quickly as possible for paying off the mortgage on the Dominey Estates.
Great Scott.
I've had 3 or 4 years good luck. I have made money in gold mines and in land.
My heartiest congratulations. You are the first Dominey I ever knew who has ever made money.
Well, if you inquire at the United Bank of Africa, you will find that I have a credit balance there of something over £100,000. Then I've also, well, let's say a trifle more, invested in first-class mines.
Good.
Do me the favour of lunching with me at the Carlton, Mangan, and I will tell you something of my speculations.
I should be delighted.
Lady Dominey's condition is unchanged, I think you said.
Physically, she is in excellent health. Mentally, I believe that there is no change. She has, unfortunately, the same rather violent prejudice which I am afraid influenced your departure from England.
In plain words, she has sworn to take my life if ever I sleep under the same roof.
He will need to be strictly watched, I'm afraid.
So, she still regards me as the murderer of Roger Marston?
I'm afraid she does.
And I suppose everyone else has the same idea?
The mystery has never been cleared up. It is well known, you see, that you fought in the Blackwood, and Roger Marston has never been seen from that day to this.
But if I killed him, why was his body never found?
There are all sorts of theories, of course. But there is one particular suspicion you may as well be prepared for. There is scarcely a man or woman for miles around Dominey who does not believe that the ghost of Roger Marston still haunts the Black Wood.
Let's be quite clear about this, Mangan. If the body should ever be found, am I liable after all these years to be indicted for manslaughter?
I think you may make your mind quite at ease on that score. In the first place, I don't think you would ever be indicted.
And in the second?
There isn't a human being in that part of Norfolk who would ever believe that the body of man or beast left within the shadow of the Black Wood would ever be seen or heard of again.
Ah, Mangan, just the fellow I want to see.
Excuse me one moment, Sir Everard. At last.
Yeah, I'll go on.
This way, please, sir. You have a reservation?
Leopold, the holy saints, why did you not let me know?
I'm so sorry, but I fear you're mistaken. My name is not...
You, and in London of all places. Tell me, what does it mean?
I can only repeat, madam, that to my very great regret, I do not have the honor of your acquaintance.
Oh, do you mean to deny that you are Leopold von Reichenstein? That you do not know me?
My name is Dominic. Sir Everard Dominic.
Leopold, nothing can make it wrong or indiscreet for you to visit me while you are here. My address is 17 Belgrave Square. Come, tonight at 7.
But...
Goodbye, for the present.
But, madam, I...
To keep you. I say, wasn't that the princess I was told?
The lady addressed me by mistake. She mistook me for a chap I used to know at Oxford.
Princess is quite a famous personage. Her husband was killed in a duel, I believe. Mm.
If we might order luncheon.
Oh, of course. I do apologize.
What sort of terms are we on with the Germans out in East Africa?
Oh, excellent, I should think.
Of course, this will all be new to you, but during the last few years, Englishmen have become divided into two classes. Those who believe that the Germans want war, and those who don't.
Hmm. Well, then, since my return, the number of don'ts has been increased by one.
I'm amongst the doubtfuls myself. Let us now turn to your personal plans. Have you seen any of your relatives yet?
Not one. I should be perfectly content never to see them again, except for the Duchess, of course. She was always very kind to me. I'm afraid that even the Duchess was rather fed up with me before I left England. What are you staring at?
The Duchess herself, behind you, lunching with Lord St. Omar.
Then this place must certainly be the rendezvous of all the world, for here is yet another old friend. Seaman, my friend, welcome!
Sir Everard!
Let me introduce you to my friend and legal advisor, Mr. Mangan, Mr. Seaman.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Well, this is a day of surprises. Within the space of an hour, I find a princess who desires to claim my acquaintance, a cousin who lunches only a few tables away, and an old friend of my African days. But do join us, Seaman. A glass of wine, perhaps.
Thank you.
Waiter, a glass, please.
Come. So, you knew Sir Everard in Africa, Mr. Seaman.
Aye, we did business together. A great deal of business. And when we were not partners, Sir Everard generally got the best of it.
Extraordinary.
Luck generally comes to a man either early or late in life. My luck came late. I sometimes think that you must have been my lucky mascot, Seaman.
Well, tell me, are you planning to return to Africa, Mr. Seaman?
Oh, no. Now I have retired from money-making, and I intend to take up again my real life's work.
If you're going to talk about your hobby, you'd better order them to serve your lunch here.
I had finished my lunch before you came in.
Oh, do tell me about this hobby of yours.
I protest.
Just one word, so... This must be clear to you, Mr. Mangan. I'm a German by birth, naturalized in England for the sake of my business. Now, I have watched the growth of commercial rivalries and jealousies between the two nations. Well, now, my aim is to encourage a league for the promotion of more cordial social and business relations between the people of Great Britain and the people of the German Empire.
I compliment you most heartily on your scheme.
But it's getting late, and I have taken up too much of your time. Although I have an appointment, if you will excuse me.
Yes, of course. I wish you good luck with your hobby.
Thank you, gentlemen.
No doubt we shall meet again soon.
You may depend upon it, Sir Everard.
Well, then why not tonight? Shall we say 8:30 in the lobby?
I will look forward to our meeting.
A solid businessman, I should think.
Apart from that damned hobby of his. All the same, I shall have to develop some new interest myself. Now that I'm back, I can't fancy myself doing nothing down in Norfolk all the rest of my days. Perhaps I shall go into Parliament.
Parliament? Well, I never knew 10 years make such a difference in a man in my life.
The colonies are a kill or cure sort of business. Either you take your drubbing and come out a stronger man, or you go under.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mang. I hope you are finding the time to look after those troublesome tenants of mine.
We shall make our report in due course, Your Grace. Will you permit me to bring back to your memory a relative of yours who has only just returned from abroad? Sir Everard Dominey.
Caroline?
Everard Dominey? Everard? Ridiculous.
I can assure Your Grace that there is no doubt whatever about Sir Everard's identity.
I simply cannot bring myself to believe it. Come, I will challenge you. When did we last meet?
At Worcester House. I came to say goodbye to you.
You came to say goodbye and...
Am I to take this as a challenge?
As you will.
You were a little kinder to me then than you are today. You gave me this picture. See, I have it in my pocketbook still.
Oh, for heaven's sake, put it away. And not another word. There's Lord St. Omar within earshot. Come and see me at 3 this afternoon. And don't be a minute late. And now I must go. I'm half an hour late for my dressmaking for Warbecky.
Your Grace.
Until 3, Caroline.
Sir Everard, God bless you. If ever a woman got what she deserved. I've seen a duchess blush for the first time in my life.
Sir Everard Dominay, Your Grace.
Everard, come here and let me look at you. There's something wrong about you, you know.
Oh, that seems very unfortunate, when I return to find you wholly unchanged.
Not bad. All the same, I have changed. I'm not in the least in love with you any longer.
Ah, it was the fear of that change in you which kept me for so long in the farthest corners of the world.
How you are going to live over here, I cannot imagine. But it isn't the least use expecting Henry to do a thing for you. The poor man has scarcely enough pocket money to pay his travelling expenses when he goes off lecturing.
Lecturing?
On national defence.
Dear Henry always was a little cranky, wasn't he? Let me put your mind at rest, Caroline. I can assure you that I have come back to England not to borrow money, but to spend it.
And you mean to tell me that you really are Everard Dominay?
Yes. Caroline.
My dear Everard, Henry is in the next room. Besides, yes, I suppose you must be Everard Dominay. Just now there was something in your eyes, exactly like his. But you are so straight, so upright.
Oh, one spends half one's time in the saddle in Africa.
And you are really well off.
Really?
Oh, it's too wonderful. Henry will love having his money back.
And you?
Oh, you won't want an old woman like me. You'll have the town at your feet. You'll be able to flirt with... Oh, I am so sorry. I forgot.
Forgot?
Forgot the tragedy which drove you abroad. Forgot your marriage. Is there any change in your wife's condition?
Not much, I'm afraid.
Oh. When will you come to dine here and meet all your relatives?
Whenever you're kind enough to ask me. I thought of going down to Dominy Hall tomorrow.
But your wife,
She's there, I believe. I cannot help that. I've been in exile from my home long enough.
Do not go. Just think you have your future and your career to consider.
My dear Caroline... Oh, you must forgive me. I didn't know you were engaged. We'll not stay, but I should just like to present a young friend of mine to you who's going to help me at the meeting this evening.
Do bring him in, Henry, my dear.
Thank you.
And I have a surprise for you, too.
Mm-hmm.
See who is here.
Well, there is something exceedingly familiar about your face, sir.
This is Everard Dominay, returned from foreign exile in Africa and regenerated in every sense of the word.
I hope that you haven't quite forgotten me, Henry.
Oh, bless my soul. You don't mean to stand there and tell me that you really are Dominay?
Beyond a doubt.
Quite amazing, quite amazing. Delighted to meet you again, Dominay.
You'll be more delighted still when you hear the rest of the news. In the meantime, do present your friend.
Oh, my dear Bartram, do forgive me. Let me present you to the Duchess. Captain Bartram has just returned from Germany, my dear.
Oh, how do you do, Captain?
Your Grace. Delighted to meet you, Bartram. How do you do?
Do you, too, believe that Germany has evil designs upon us, Captain?
Indeed, I do.
How long were you in Germany, Captain?
12 months. I went there with an open mind. I have come back convinced that we shall be at war with Germany within a year.
Absolutely. Our friend here is quite right. For months I've been trying to drum that fact into the handful of wooden-headed Englishmen who've deigned to come to our meetings. Well, you're just back from Africa, Dominic. Did you see anything of the Germans out there?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Ah, then you may be of some service to us,
I'm bound to confess all my efforts have been directed to making money. For that reason, perhaps my observation may have been at fault. I shall claim the privilege of coming to one of your meetings and of trying to understand the question.
My dear fellow, forgive my remarking it, but I find you more changed than I could have believed possible.
Oh, Everard is changed in more ways than one.
But now I'm afraid I must take my leave. I have an appointment. I look forward to seeing you again, Henry. There is a little matter of business to be adjusted between us. Caroline, Captain Bartram.
Upon my soul, a little matter of business. I don't much like the sound of that. I hope you explain to Everard, my dear, that it's absolutely hopeless for him to look to me for any financial assistance just at present.
Oh, Henry, Everard was alluding to the money he already owes you. He intends to repay it at once.
Everard? Pay his debts? Impossible.
It's quite true.
Then if you ask me, there is something very wrong about it somewhere. Something very wrong indeed.